Welcome to the Osir Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guests today are Susan Al-Ghatani from Jeddah International College and James Cunningham from Aberdeen Business School. They both published an article entitled Gradually Changing Society, Women Entrepreneurs and Institutional Change in Saudi Arabia. They co-authored this paper with Lin Xiong. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor & Francis. Suzanne, James, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having us. And we are really glad to be here.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you want to answer?
This paper didn't begin as a purely academic project. For me, it's begin as a lived experience. As a Saudi woman watching my country transform, I'm watching women around me step into entrepreneurship with confidence, purpose, and also creativity. In my personal work and engagement, I kept meeting women who were building businesses from the ground up, navigating cultural expectation, balancing family and ambitions, and redefining actually what leadership and entrepreneurship looks like in today's Saudi Arabia. And despite all this incredible progress, I noticed something striking. Their voices were almost absent in the global academic literature. There was disconnected. What was happening in the ground was powerful and transformative, but the academic world wasn't capturing it. So for me, this paper became more than research. It's become a way to honor these women, to document their journeys, and to bring their perspectives into international conversations that often overlooks voices from our region. So this led us to our main research question. How do Saudi women entrepreneurs construct meaning, identity, and agency in society that undergoing rapid national transformation? It's a question deeply connected to my own observation, my background, and my belief in the importance of documenting change from within the culture itself.
What are the contributions of your paper?
Okay, I will add something, and James, you can join me. So our study makes several key contributions, both academically and socially. First, we amplify the authentic voices of Saudi women entrepreneurs. These narratives are not filtered or interviewed from distance. They are grounded, personal, and directly reflect how these women see themselves, their roles, and their journeys. Second, we document a major national shift aligned with the Vision 2030. Saudi Arabia is changing rapidly, and entrepreneurship, especially women's entrepreneurship, is one of the clearest indicators of this transformation. Our work captured this moment from inside the society, offering insight that global literature has not yet explored. And third, we purpose a lens for understanding how women navigate the balance between traditions and modernity. The idea that women must choose between the two is simply not reflected in our findings. Instead, these women are skillfully combining cultural values with a new opportunity, creating hybrid forms of identity and leadership that are uniquely Saudi. This contribution enrich global entrepreneurship scholarship, but they also give policymakers and practitioners deeper insight into what empowerment really looks like in transforming society.
If I could just add something to that, because as we were developing the paper after data collection, once we're looking at things and interpreting things, we seen something quite interesting, which was a contribution to more macro level entrepreneurship theory. I feel we see entrepreneurship as change. We see it as introducing movement, introducing dynamism, and that's where this transformation argument comes from. That these women are playing a role by being entrepreneurs, are playing a role in transforming Saudi society, and that's great. That's fantastic. And universally, we really see this as entrepreneurship as bringing a positive element here. However, one of the major contributions of the paper also is that this happens very gradually and very slowly. This transformation of society can only happen gradually and slowly and carefully. And the word navigation came up quite a lot, navigation and negotiation with society. So that we found that very interesting. Instead of the classical celebration of entrepreneurship as the great disruptor, the great changers of economies and changers of society, here's something that is a much more, well, it's a much slower process and happens very carefully over a protracted period of time. And I think that's an additional contribution that we're making, which is let's slow down a little bit sometimes at how we look at entrepreneurship. This disruptive change doesn't have to happen overnight. It might not even be disruptive. It might just be a gradual progression of society.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
So I'll perhaps go with this one. I'll start with maybe with the methodological challenges, the challenges of gaining empirical insight here as we were trying to understand what was going on and what was interesting about what was going on also. First of all, we need to think about gaining access. Suzanne was asking people for personal stories. And when you're asking people for personal stories, there's a sensitivity that comes with that, particularly when we're attaching those stories to a changing society. And in this particular context, we started with quite a conservative society, one could argue, and how these women entrepreneurs were perhaps going against the expectations of society. We have to be very mindful of that and very sensitive of that. There are aspects that maybe these individuals might not want to share. They might be reticent to share. They might not even have realized themselves that they're in these positions. So take a bit of a mindful approach to data collection, I would say. And we're also, with that, we have to be very careful with identity. Obviously, we went through the usual ethics clearances, etc., and that comes with it. Anonymization, confidentiality, informed consent, of course. But even so, we had to be quite cautious of the questions we were asking so as not to put these women in a position that they would be outing themselves as maybe in any way problematic to society or in any way an issue to society that might come back on them. But with that, we also had to be careful with our interpretation of what they were eventually saying to us. How did we know what they were saying made sense in the broader context? And for that reason, we have a very mixed author team in terms of background and in terms of insight. Obviously, Susan, being a lead author, was able to go out and collect, and data collector also as lead author, was able to have that nuance there of understanding the context, understanding the background of many of these women and understanding where they were coming from. And I think that's crucially important also. So there was that care that had to be taken with empirical data collection. I would also say there was a theoretical challenge here, and I alluded to it in the previous question. I feel that we have a tendency to want to celebrate entrepreneurship, and we want to present entrepreneurship as being a great thing. And that makes sense because that's our background from business schools. That's what our journals look for, including this journal. Here we kind of want to encourage entrepreneurship to happen because we're fans of entrepreneurs. But in that want to encourage entrepreneurship to happen, we found that maybe we wanted it to happen more quickly, or we wanted these disruptions, social disruptions, to be more obvious. And they weren't. They were gradual, they were nuanced, they were careful, they were sensitive. They were small negotiations, but massively important for progressing society in the way we see it. So we had to, I think, and this came through the writing of the paper, post-data collection, through the writing of the paper, through the review process even, it was about tempering that idea. The title changed in many aspects in the writing of this article. It changed from, seeing these entrepreneurs as pioneers, which I still believe that they are pioneers, but let's not put them on that pedestal, because you don't necessarily have to be a pioneer to be a very impactful entrepreneur in a changing society. So that was something we had to grapple with. We had to temper our desire to celebrate this entrepreneurship that was happening and see it as a more nuanced and a more careful process.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or the most counterintuitive result?
I think if I'll just continue from my train of thought from the previous question, I think one of my biggest surprises was that these women are not defined by the constraints of their context. And it would be unfair to see them as defined by the constraints of their context. It's not all about limitations. And that's where a lot of our minds, first of all. Historically, it's always been the case when we looked at any kind of difference in entrepreneurship, say, well, it's different from the mainstream, it's more constrained, it's more limited. But actually, here we've got an instance where their entrepreneurship was built through context. Maybe in another context, these women wouldn't be entrepreneurs at all. You know, they wouldn't be doing anything in this space. But they are because of the context that they're in. And that context characterizes what they do. And it's the interplay between the two, not just how context defines the entrepreneur, but as we get into in the paper, how the entrepreneur then informs context and starts to define context. And it's a recursive relationship. So I think that was one of the initial things that we had to kind of get over, was this idea that let's look for constraints. Well, they're not constraints. They're just defining factors, characteristics that characterize then what happens with the entrepreneurship. And because of that, we found this character of entrepreneurship that was confident, it was resilient, even though they were operating within what we would see in a neoliberal world as restraints to entrepreneurship. Actually, these were things that were making the entrepreneur very confident. And it also, perhaps to some extent, informed them that what they were doing was the right thing to do as well. And that helped give them a reference point of pushing them forward. One of the things that emerged in the analysis, and this is one of those papers that the insight really came from the analysis, that came from that to and fro of analysis. What are we looking at? This isn't necessarily what we expected to see. It's not as simple as what we expected to see. So what is it that we're looking at? And we came up with this recursive idea that I mentioned, but the idea that any societal change has to be top down and bottom up. So the top down being the regulatory change that, small and modest as it may be, but just gradually allowed women to enter the economic spaces, that alone is not societal change. That alone does not suddenly change overnight how women can be entrepreneurs. It has to be accompanied with the bottom-up change of women entering these cracks that are being made in the regulatory system, going into the entrepreneurial space, starting to, yes, role model for other women, but that takes time to come through, but also just to gain the confidence, gain that entry, gain legitimacy in society. And to do that, they need to not only enter the entrepreneurial spaces, but need to have a bit of a trajectory within it, a bit of a history within it, to show that they can, that they are achieving things there, and gradually normalize this idea that entrepreneurship is something that women were taking part in a legitimate level. So I think that's interesting. I think it took us away from our original starting point, which was arguably starting to look at constraints and trying to articulate the constraints, but to actually say they're not constraints, and the constraints are starting to come away. These are just things that characterize how this entrepreneurship takes place.
Well, can I add just one thing also? I would say that they weren't simply responding to the change. They were shaping it, actually. And this is what's surprising academically for me. It's also personal and inspiring me to be one of them.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, practitioners in general?
Okay. Our findings offer several important implications, to be honest. First, economic empowerment and social empowerment must go together. Supporting women entrepreneurs can't be limited to technical skills or funding alone. It must include supportive social environment that acknowledge identity, culture, and also meaning-making. The second is programs must be culturally grounded. One-size-fits-all global models don't work like successful support system in Saudi Arabia must reflect local values, expectation, and aspiration. The third, we can say, like, women are active agents of change, not passive participants. So here, recognizing women as drives of natural transformation shift the native and shapes more effective policies and intelligent. The last one, the fourth, we have here, the research can guide policymakers and institutions to build a stronger, more inclusive entrepreneurial ecosystem. It shows where support is most needed and how cultural insight can enhance the impact of empowerment programs. So ultimately, our hope is that this study contributes not only to academic knowledge, but also to real-world impact by helping build environment where women-led entrepreneurship can thrive sustainably in Saudi Arabia.
Thanks a lot, Susanna and James, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Gradually Changing Society: Women Entrepreneurs and Institutional Change in Saudi Arabia. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-eard.com and on the main podcast platforms.